Aram, what was that?
Good news. I found a dragon.
No, you didn't. Dragons aren't real, Aram.
Oh, they are quite real, Dylan. And very clumsy.
All right, I'll play. Why did you bring a dragon here?
What better way to promote Kill Every Monster than with an actual dragon? We may need to pump up the Patreon just a little.
For $2 a month, supporters on patreon.com/killeverymonster get access to ad-free episodes as they're released. For $5, you'll get them early along with audio DMs notes featuring Aram and I discussing how we made each episode.
For $10 a month, you'll get audio and video DMs notes along with extended cutting room floor content that didn't quite make it into the main episode.
We also have a $25 investor level and a $50 producer level. Support at these tiers ensures we can continue to produce Kill Every Monster and allows us to hire more talent from the community. Both levels get a personalized shout-out at the end of every episode, and producers get a welcome pack of each official Dead Ghost and Kill Every Monster pin we have left in stock.
The $2, $5, and $10 patron tiers are available with a 7-day free trial for new subscribers. So head over to patreon.com/killeverymonster and check out everything we have to offer at no cost to you.
Want another free way to help the show? Give us a review. Written reviews are amazing, but even clicking 5 stars is a huge boost. Podcast reviews are the best way we have to get the show in front of new listeners. You can leave reviews for Kill Every Monster on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Podcast Addict.
Find all the ways you can support the show and leave us a review at patreon.com/killeverymonster.
Hey everybody, this is Dylan. A little while ago, Aram came across a 12-year-old RPG about the politics of inhabiting another world. Aram co-produced Mars Colony with our guests from the Flumph and Aboleth episodes of Kill Every Monster, making this the second Dead Ghost show where he's replaced me with a different Canadian named Alex. Mars Colony was written by Tim C. Copang and is designed for 2 players. One takes on the role of the colony's appointed savior, named Kelly Perkins, while the other plays the governor, responsible for all the various problems that are plaguing the citizens of Mars. As the game progresses, the savior will face a constant struggle between competence and failure, honesty and deception. It's a game built to explore the cult of personality present in modern-day politics, but playable in the time it takes to watch a kinda long movie. This is the first episode of a 3-part series. To listen to Mars Colony early and ad-free, as well as bonus content from all of our shows, check out patreon.com/deadghostpro. And now I'm gonna go away.
I would not see our candle blown out in the wind. It is a small thing. This dear gift of life handed us mysteriously out of immensity. I would not have that gift expire. If I seem to be beating a dead horse again and again, I must protest no. I am beating again and again living man to keep him awake and move his limbs and jump his mind. What's the use of looking at Mars through a telescope, sitting on panels, writing books, if it isn't to guarantee not just the survival of mankind, but mankind surviving forever?
The colony was created by a coalition of Earth governments that advertised the project as a multinational utopia. Now, after years of incompetence and disaster, the colony is dying. You have been nominated to turn things around. While you are a celebrated expert on Earth, Mars is a different environment entirely. Good luck, Kelly Perkins.
Mars was colonized by basically corporations. A private sector colonized it.
Earth too expensive. Join us on Mars for the next level of affordable luxury living.
Private sector with government money.
They jumped the gun too early. there is like a future for Mars where, you know, everything's sustainable and there's enough people going over there that it can be self-sustaining. But they basically kind of sold the idea that there's like a product there, and that if you dump in a bunch of money right now, they could do it. They can do it now instead of later. The product being sold is essentially like the AI product.
Good morning, Kelly Perkins. It has been some time since we spoke last. I am pleased to see you have finally chosen to visit Mars in person.
We can go to Mars and we can build massive computers. Mars is a bit colder. We don't have to worry about a bunch of problems there. We can basically build like town-sized computers or like small city-sized computers if we want. All for the purpose of running this huge data center. The information would be crunched on Mars and then beamed back to Earth, which is a ridiculous idea, but an idea that sold, like alongside, oh, it can also be a luxury villa. The other little plus ones that CEOs is like, oh, it can be everything. But kind of like the main one is this big data center.
And someone in the back was like, yeah, but it takes like, you know, even with lasers, it takes a amount of time for signals to get to Mars and back. And like, don't worry, we'll have it fixed. There'll be instantaneous space laser communication. We'll surely figure it out.
You know, they can cite like, you know, by going to the moon, all this technology was invented. And it was the effort of going to the moon that took it. And we'll the same thing will happen to us.
Yeah, it's a Mars shot. We'll invent Velcro 2.0 and everyone will get rich in the process.
Yeah. So they sell this idea and like a bunch of governments get involved. A bunch of like investors and stuff get involved and they basically sold the idea. And that leaves the first colonizers are also kind of sold on the idea. People who get on that ship and go all the way to Mars in order to build this facility. But they're essentially just kind of set up as like the sacrificial lambs.
They were sold as pioneers, which is actually the same way we sold it to pioneers the first time. So it's exactly the same as pioneers.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's exactly like every time that this has happened.
Right. Every time the government wants people to populate an area, this happens.
What's kind of revealed, and the reason your character is going to Mars themselves, is because it's been a little while, and it's not really turning a profit, is it?
That instant communication didn't quite come online. And sure, it's helpful to crunch large data in a center with dedicated computers top of the line. But if it's not real time, we're not getting the stock market. We're not getting anything we need to actually do. There's no cloud computing on Mars like people promised.
Yeah.
There was all these diagrams of like the cloud computing on Mars, which would also help, you know, there's also like the whole imagery of like, yes, it's doing data in the cloud, but also we're terraforming Mars. So the cloud has two versions, right? It's both rain and data.
What do you need to terraform a planet? Heat. What do computers make?
Heat.
Yeah.
I would have been sold on this.
And so they send over you. You are kind of the face of the grift.
I mean, okay, hang on. Grift is a harsh word. The technology will eventually work.
Right. Yeah. You're the face of the operation. I'll say that.
Thank you.
You're the face of the pitch. You're the guy who told us that it can work. So get over there and fix it, buddy.
I was pulled into a room with a bunch of military guys and a bunch of high elected officials. And they were like, look, 60% of your company is government contracts. Get on the rocket or that ends tomorrow.
Your popularity is tanking and you need to do some kind of stunt.
I'm good at stunts.
You know, it's like Elon launching a car into space kind of thing.
It's just like that, except that car is me.
Yeah.
He feels trapped. He doesn't know where else to turn.
Yeah.
And then I've got this option. I've got a literal escape where I can both leave my problems and the world behind and go to a different reality where I'm a savior.
Yes. Yeah. So you're drinking your own Kool-Aid as well.
Oh, I'm 100% drinking my own Kool-Aid. How the fuck do you think I got here?
Do you want to take a quick look at the rules again?
As you know, I'm a big rules guy, Alex. I love the rules.
I'm not going to get into all of it, but just the general structure. There's going to be a bunch of scenes that we're going to string together, and there's three types of scenes. One is personal scenes. This is about your private life, things that you're kind of personally struggling with. This might be you talking to somebody you care about in the colony or something you care about in the colony. There are opposition scenes, which are basically me presenting problems to you. Whereas the personal scenes have like no politics, no solving problems. It's just kind of like about your character and kind of giving us a sense of who they are.
Yeah.
The opposition scenes are about problems. And then the progress scenes start as soon as you start to try and solve those problems and start like kind of putting together a solution. The personal and opposition scenes don't have any dice rolls. We just kind of describe it and then move on. But as soon as you start solving the thing, we're going to get into the little dice game. Are you going with Kelly Perkins?
I think we should. If we're going to play the game, let's play the game properly. I'll go with Kelly Perkins.
So, Kelly Perkins.
Hello, I am Kelly Perkins. Kind of brings a character along with it.
Kelly Perkins can't be a bad guy. Not with a name like Kelly Perkins. That's
why you'll never know. That's why I've gotten away with it for so long.
So Kelly Perkins has an affiliation with I can introduce political parties. So we have the Space Liberty Alliance. We have the Unity Coalition. And we have the Mars Pioneers League. The Space Liberty Alliance is basically a... What do you call like a union, but for companies? Like when companies get together and make their own union against the government.
People who go to the government and like give us money and here's why.
I feel like it's a lobbying firm.
Exactly.
It's like a bunch of investors got together and they're like, we all got a stake in this Mars thing and a couple other space projects.
It's one of those think tanks.
Yeah.
There's a space think tank with a whole lobbying firm, and they go on CNN every Sunday with like some boring guy in tweed in a little space pin.
Yeah.
And he talks about why we need to give more money to private space exploration.
There's a lot of money behind that, and they probably have the most representation on the Mars colony itself. Next up, we're going to do the Mars Pioneers League. And this is kind of a group created by people who are going to Mars. Like, it started at some point as like a chat group of like, are you going to Mars? I'm going to Mars.
It was like a little Slack.
But has grown into a pretty official thing. I've made it sound like pretty grassroots, but I think there's some like pretty important people in this as well, because serious engineers and stuff were needed to go to Mars.
Serious engineers were needed and very unserious people to buy the tickets. And unserious people were like, whatever the equivalent of is like TikTok influencers. You know, there's some people there like, look how shitty everything is.
I'm also imagining that like, so there's some like kind of diehard Mars first people in this, but it's also got people, some people on Earth, like Bill Nye. The science guy is a member of this, and he just kind of likes Mars and thinks it's neat.
Him and Neil deGrasse Tyson were like the first, you know, founders of that part of it, right? Yeah. But then there's other people who have been there a while, and it's like Mars first means us first, right? Red means red.
And then the final thing is the Unity Coalition. So the UN, the United Nations, not involved. There's not enough of a global effort. But the Unity Coalition is basically a collection of spacefaring countries and their governments who have invested in the Mars colony. So US is in there, probably India, China, the EU kind of all have a foot in the Unity Coalition. And they kind of represent government interests in the colony. They're the people with the least boots on the ground. They're an Earth first. Like, the Mars colony exists, and we're paying for it for Earth's benefit.
Right. It's seen as more of, like, another moon.
And so they do have, like, as far as, like, humanitarian concerns, like, they're a little bit more concerned with, like, human rights and stuff, but also Earth first. And you know, anything that's done should be for the benefit of Earth, ultimately.
They've got a small observational force there to report back to make sure that, you know, it's not chaos. But otherwise than that, yeah, they're largely hands-off to the governments and the financial money involved.
Yeah. Speaking of people on the colony, maybe we can look at the colony organizations next.
All right.
So we're going to be dealing with kind of four main organizations that you'll in kind of interact with throughout the Mars colony. The first is the mayor's office.
The mayor's office is the executive branch of the colony government. Mayor Yang is the first mayor elected by the colony citizens. His predecessor was installed by the Earth Coalition.
Kind of like run the kind of day-to-day operations of like living on the colony. The next organization that we have is the Colony Council.
The council is the colony's legislative branch, responsible for passing local laws and ordinances. Each member is elected to represent one of the five colony districts.
And so they're a little bit more big picture. The colony is just like one thing, but like it already has sort of like municipal kind of thing, running the day-to-day, making sure that people can eat. And then it's also got a group who's responsible for making sure that the colony is like serving the right interests here.
Yeah, it's set up much like a city council would be, because the colony is like one big city, or one small city, I suppose.
So each member elected here kind of represents a different kind of products in the colony. So you've got somebody who's like kind of responsible for the data center. You've got somebody who's responsible for communications. You've got somebody who's responsible for labor, that kind of thing.
The Unity Coalition is a multi-member group of Earth nations that sponsored the construction of Mars Colony. These nations all claim an interest in how the colony is run. In order to provide a conduit between the colony and the people of Earth, and in order to administer coalition directives, the Unity Coalition sent a committee to Mars. Its president is Arnold Fletcher. Underneath the president are numerous representatives from member countries.
So this is basically just another like little council, another group of people who get together and talk about, you know, making sure that Mars is for Earth.
Which of these coalitions have voting power? Like, who can actually make decisions for the colonies?
So mayor's office is going to have, like, decision-making power on rations, if somebody commits a crime.
Right.
And then the colony council is basically a council dedicated to running the different systems in the colony. So, like, making sure that the data center is up and running, that the communications system is working fine, and that everything is functioning in the way that was intended to. And then the Earth Coalition is zoomed up to the highest step, where you've got a bunch of people who kind of, like, they're not always present, and they might kind of come to and from Mars, that kind of thing. But they basically kind of give orders down. The Earth Coalition is giving orders to the Colony Council. The Colony Council is giving orders to the mayor's office. But of course, as you get further down, you get people who kind of are a little bit more close to the action as well. And then the final organization that you might be interacting with is the News Network Corp.
The network is the colony's only major news source. While the network has many employees, the most well-known are network chief Serena Pannon, beat reporter Sydney Fain, and head anchor Jace Williams.
There's basically one kind of news network that is giving Mars information on Earth, but also giving Earth information on Mars.
I would imagine that since there's a delay to get data back, and since there's a colony, they rely wholly on our communication systems in order to get information back and forth.
Yes.
Right. They'll shut them off, cut them off, fuck a free press. That's my first order.
Yeah, very importantly, they're an independent organization.
Right.
They have, you know, a lot of connections with other organizations because everybody at some point wants to control the news.
It's not like CNN. It's like a bunch of reporters and cameramen from Reuters creating a pool that then all the networks back home can pick from.
They're not necessarily a really united kind of vision on what the news should be. So you got some sellouts, some kind of like diehard reporters, some people who just like Mars there, I guess. Kelly Perkins has affiliation with what political party is Kelly Perkins a part of?
I mean, it's got to be the Space Liberty Alliance. He's here because of the Unity Coalition.
Yep.
But he probably helped found the Space Liberty Alliance.
And then you also have a sympathy. And a sympathy is meant to be someone on the colony that you kind of have a personal connection to. It's meant to sort of humanize you a little bit and kind of give you something to do other than just like argue with politicians.
We talked about this.
Yep.
And I really liked the idea of the sympathy being the AI itself.
Yep.
Like I have a kind of relationship with this AI.
Yeah.
I believe my own hype. This is the most human AI that's ever been invented. And I treat it like a person as part of buying my own hype.
Yeah.
Like when you talk to it, you feel like you're talking to a person.
We talked a little bit before about whether or not this AI was going to be like, actually, it's quite an impressive feat, or if it was going to be kind of like AI in the current real world where it can look impressive at first glance, but it's actually kind of hollow. And I think we're going to find out kind of just during play. We'll see how things feel. But I think either way, I like the idea of like that kind of first impression that you give AI of like, oh, this is amazing. Kind of you're still sold on that.
Which is why I've entrusted the entire colony with it.
So the colony has three kind of, it's called health markers. And these are three things about the colony that, generally speaking, we can use to measure whether or not the colony is stable and self-sustaining. The first one is funding. We kind of talked before about how the Unity Coalition, kind of the Earth governments, are not getting the return that they wanted. Even some of the investors from the Space Liberty Alliance are not getting the returns that they were promised. And funding has to be like the operational costs of running a colony of Mars quite high when it's not self-sustaining.
Yeah, these servers were supposed to pay for themselves at this point, and they are definitely not doing that.
Yeah, and so the whole thing needs to get into the black. And you can do that by cutting costs, or you can do that by securing more funding, or however you want to figure it out. You can find inefficiencies, that kind of thing.
Right.
The second kind of health indicator is something I just called data center. The data center itself is kind of like the main product of the whole colony. If it's having problems, then everybody's having problems. So the data center needs to be running well. It needs to be putting out the product that was promised. It needs to be sending that back to Earth in the way that people want it.
The last thing we need right now is an outage.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
And then the last health marker is labor. So the thing with labor is that people are needed to run the whole colony. And if they're not happy, then everybody starts having problems. There's just like not necessarily enough people a lot of the time. And, you know, people are kind of stretched thin. So you got to keep people happy, got to make sure the things are getting done, that there's enough labor and everything's being covered.
Right.
And we might introduce some new colony health markers as we play, but there can be up to five. And you need to solve three of them and kind of stabilize three health markers, maybe the three that we just talked about, in order to stabilize the colony as a whole. And you have three circles with 9 tokens. The center circle is admiration. So when you arrive on the colony, all of your tokens are in admiration. Everybody loves you. The second circle is contempt. So as you start to fail and things start to go wrong, some of this admiration, we're just going to like take the tokens and then like physically move them over into like the contempt pool. Sometimes people will start to believe in you less. Yeah, maybe this guy isn't everything that he said he was.
Yeah.
And sometimes you are going to have to lie. And when that happens, you're going to take tokens and move them over into deception.
Well, again, lie is a harsh word. Dress up the truth.
And later on, your deception can turn into contempt if you get caught. And we'll see when that happens.
Lie well, is what you're saying.
Yeah, lie well.
Oxygen levels are stable at 21%.
I think that's pretty much everything about how the game is going right now. I guess I haven't. What game are we playing, Aram?
Well, Alex, we are playing Mars Colony by TCK Roleplaying.
What is Mars Colony? What is this game about?
From the Mars Colony website, Mars Colony is a role-playing game designed specifically for two players. One will take on the role of the colony's appointed savior, while the other will be responsible for all the various problems that are plaguing the citizens of Mars. As the game progresses, the savior will face a constant struggle between competence and failure, honesty and deception. It is a game custom built to explore the cult of personality present in modern day politics, but playable in the time it takes to watch a long movie.
So you're playing the savior. My role is technically called not the GM, but in this game, but the governor. The governor kind of plays out the first scene to kind of set the stage. And then we're going to go back and forth. Each of us can narrate one type of scene. Either of us can start a personal scene, but only you can start progress scenes and only I can start opposition scenes. You're sitting on a rocket.
Now entering Mars atmosphere.
The rocket has these kind of like cushy chairs with like faux leather on them even.
The rocket is called Magellan 3.
Magellan 3, okay. The descent into the Martian atmosphere is, despite kind of all the luxury around you, you've got like a nice cockpit. The descent into the Martian atmosphere is... stressful, to say the least. It's got those massive parachutes that come up. It's got like an inflatable heat shield. And it just kind of slams into the atmosphere, getting closer and closer to the ground. And you can look out the window and you can see the ground just approaching way too fast. The most terrifying about this whole descent is that the parachute is not going to slow you down enough. And so partway down, you feel the engines go off under you. The parachutes disconnect and the engines start up, slowing you down in what's called a suicide burn. Because if anything goes wrong, you just slam into the earth and die.
I notice during this descent, as like even my fingers are kind of gripping the armrest a bit, as I'm looking around, like it's only a quarter full. This is a rocket to Mars, and the passenger compartment is only a quarter full. So that's not a good sign coming in.
Yes. You can feel the G-forces squish your body into the seat as the rocket rapidly slows down. But then you feel it touch against the Martian surface. Hydraulics around you going shh. As everything depressurizes.
Did we land like on the open surface where we have to wear helmets walking out, or are we in some sort of like hangar?
You don't necessarily have to walk out onto the Martian surface. It's got one of those tube things that connects to airplanes.
Oh, sure.
That kind of comes out.
Pressurized gangway. Yeah.
It connects into the main colony. There's a message that comes over the comms.
You're all set to go, sir. Welcome to Mars.
Thank you, Lieutenant. He would get up, straighten his tie, flex his shoulders after, he'd been sitting in this seat for 6 months, but it was a long journey, right? Gets up, stretches, and grabs my iPad, which is all I carry. That's all I'm ever, well, not an iPad, whatever version of the slate I would have that I'm walking around with. That's the only thing I carry. No phone, no briefcase, just this one tablet. And I head on out, expecting to be greeted as soon as I leave the spacecraft.
Yeah, absolutely. The gangway itself has a couple of compartments that you have to walk into. Not quite in like an airlock. It's not, you're not decompressing into vacuum or something, but just to make sure that
safety.
Yeah, safety. If one compartment decompresses into the Martian atmosphere, then not only you die.
Right. Fair enough.
You get through those couple of compartments and it opens up into a hallway filled with people. basically just totally blocking it. And there is a round of applause. People saying like, "Welcome to Mars, Mr. Perkins."
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
This basically goes on almost as long as you want it to. People are extremely glad that you're here. And as long as you keep standing there and waving, they keep clapping.
I'll make the rounds. I'll spend a good half an hour making sure I've shook everyone's hand, or at least the important people, that I've said hello, I've picked up a baby, posed for a picture with it, done some media questions, right? We'll answer some, you know, just like some like lined questions from the media as I'm walking down and shaking hands. Just spend a good half an hour giving the people the PR they need.
As you're kind of shaking hands, you know, one of the people you shake hands with is somebody who you would know as Jace Williams, who is an anchor for the News Network Corporation.
Jace, right? Jace Williams, News Corp.
Oh, it's a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Perkins. We're so glad that you've finally come to Mars, and you're here to set things right. What are you feeling right now? What are you going to do next?
Well, Jace, I've been on a rocket for 6 months, so the first thing I'm going to do is take a nice, long, hot shower. Nothing's wrong. Just needs a slight course adjustment to get us back on track, and we're going to be just fine. But I think the first thing I'm going to tackle, Jace, is I'm going to tackle the confidence gap. Because, no offense, but too many people in the mainstream media jump to conclusions. They don't know what's going on the ground like you do, Jace. And like your viewers have come to trust. So I think the most important thing I can do first is restore that faith. Keep that line of communication open.
Absolutely, Mr. Perkins. And what about the faith of the people back on Earth?
The people back on Earth have a lot of faith. They have a lot of belief. When they look up at the stars, Jace, they see their own future.
Is that true, Mr. Perkins?
I believe people do believe in greatness. They do believe we can still reach beyond our one small blue spot and step out into the universe. I believe the people believe that. They just have to be reminded why we're here.
Councilmember Jiang comes around to rescue you from the press. He's responsible for actually running the data center. He started as an engineer and has been kind of promoted into basically somebody who's now in more of a political position and is attempting to keep the data center, which is kind of like his baby, running. And he comes up to you and says, "Mr. Perkins, it's so good to see you. Let's get you away from this crowd. You must be overwhelmed. Let's get you some real Martian food."
Absolutely. That sounds fantastic, Councilman. Jace, it's been a pleasure talking to you. We'll get 5 minutes later. We can sit down and really hash things out. Sound good?
I'll hold you to that, Mr. Perkins.
All right. You have a good night now. Council member, thank you. It was getting a little bit hot in there. I just got here and already all the pressure.
People have been looking forward to your return for a long time, but and he's leading you basically kind of through a hallway. He's like kind of, he's got his hand out in front of you. He's got one hand around your shoulder and he's got one hand out in front of him, kind of like just pushing people out of the way, kind of just like waving to make room. And there's still kind of like just this applause as you walk down.
As he's guiding me along this tube, like there's a couple observation windows, like as we're going past, and I haven't really stopped to look out yet. And this is the first time, and I think even though that I've known what to expect and that I've been working on this for, a decade, but as I glance out that window and I really see the surface of Mars for the first time, and it hits me how impactful it is to be on another world. I think he would just linger just for a moment and maybe his veil would drop just for a second. Just in awe at the immensity of it.
Vardian, get in. Close the door.
Sure.
Hey, Dylan, you've been busy up here.
Yeah, this is what work looks like. I've been trying to figure out a solution on the monster ecology problem. I need a couple of sigils in the right spots.
Dylan, are you sure about this?
I wasn't entirely convinced magic existed until last week, Aram. I'm not certain about anything.
I assume this is one of those things you weren't quite sure about?
I mean, I could probably get better materials for this if we had more funding.
Well, for $2 a month, supporters on patreon.com/killeverymonster get access to ad-free episodes as they are released. For $5, you'll get those ad-free episodes early, along with audio DM notes featuring Dylan and I recapping what went into producing each one.
For $10 a month, you'll get audio and video DM's notes, along with extended cutting room floor content that didn't quite make it into the main episode.
We also have a $25 investor level and a $50 producer level. Support at these tiers ensures we can continue to produce Kill Every Monster and allows us to hire more talent from the community. Both levels also get a personalized shout-out at the end of every episode, and producers get a welcome pack of each official Dead Ghost and Kill Every Monster pin we've got left in stock.
The $2, $5, and $10 Patreon tiers are available with 7-day trials for new subscribers, so head over to patreon.com/killeverymonster and check out everything we have to offer at no cost to you.
Want a free way to help the show? Give us a review. Written reviews are amazing, but even clicking 5 stars is a huge boost. Podcast reviews are the best way we have to get the show in front of new listeners. You can leave reviews for Kill Every Monster on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Podcast Addict.
Find all the ways you can support the show and leave us a review at patreon.com/killeverymonster.
As you're kind of looking over the Martian atmosphere, there's that like kind of distinctive orange glow to everything like that. If you look out like a particular window, you can just see out the corner the giant towers of like transistors, almost like a matrix-esque city block of just electrical stuff.
It's the only part of the base that isn't red. It glows with this sickly green and blue.
It's got like all kinds of like coolant fluid and stuff that kind of runs through it, and the coolant fluid is green, and it kind of just stands in like stark contrast to like the natural landscape of it. Councilmember Zhang kind of leads you into like a cafeteria, and there's like a whole bunch of people there. There's like all the kind of the clapping, and he's like, all right, that is enough. That's enough. People, get back to your meals, please. There will be a welcoming ceremony later, but for God's sake, just let the man eat. People clap for a little bit longer and start to eventually kind of get back to their meals. But there's people just like looking over their shoulder at you as you kind of go in and go to get your first Martian meal.
Yeah, these people really get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your first Martian meal is exactly the same food that you had on the rocket over.
Right.
It's the same stuff.
I was getting the best food anyway.
Yeah. And Counselor Zhang kind of sits down with you, and he kind of asks you one of the same questions that Jace asks you. We are really glad you're here, and you know, we had a call before you got here, and we've been able to discuss a few things, but it's still not clear to me, like, what are we gonna do about the data set? Things are not running the way that they're supposed to. The communication satellites, it's still a bottleneck. The two-way laser communication is not what we promised to the investors, and we are no closer to improving the bandwidth of those lasers. And even worse, we're not replacing the satellites as quickly as we should be.
First of all, I have good news for you, because we have one more satellite we just put into orbit on the way here. It was dispatched from our payload. As we entered orbit, everything went fine. It should be online in a couple weeks after it's done all of its self-diagnostic checks. So hey, there's a little bit extra pipeline right there already.
Yeah, that's good to hear, but I'm accounting for that as well. I'm very aware.
Of course you are. You're a professional, after all.
There have been unexpected problems. One of our primary satellites has started falling out of orbit. We suspect that maybe some space junk put a hairline crack into some of our helium fuel tanks. The satellite has been unable to reestablish its orbit into a stable, and so it's been falling back into the atmosphere. It should stay up for another week or two, but there could be other problems like that showing up. The whole system is not nearly as efficient as we wanted it to be.
We can't get up there and put a little patch on that satellite?
It'd be easier to just replace the entire satellite itself, to be honest.
No, we've got one for one, so at least you're not down one. And look, all we have to do is keep this game going until the investors get on board. And once we have all of our communication snafus worked out, they'll follow right up. We're just going to have to concentrate on what we can get out of the investor money up until that point. That's all. I just need to buy you guys more time. You're all smart. You'll figure it out. And I'm here to help.
Time is one thing, but the people here are getting a little impatient too. Home trips have gotten expensive. The fuel getting more expensive all the time. The government funding used to fund some of that stuff. Some of our top talent, communications engineers, electrical engineers, people who came over here to do real science, they've been starting to pick up some odd jobs. And to be honest, I suspect that they're maybe kind of cutting corners around some of these systems as well to make ends meet. Generally speaking, they're not too happy about having to do this other work. And I'm a little bit worried we might start losing some of our top talent soon.
Well, while I'm here, why don't you write me up a list of this top talent and I will have them over for a dinner. Talk face to face, get all these issues hashed out. Around a few good bottles of Martian wine.
Yeah, he grimaces a little bit, and
Martian wine's terrible.
Martian wine is definitely terrible. It is also something that they're proud of, being able to grow the first grapes on Mars.
Yeah, the grapes grow really well, but the wine is terrible.
Yeah. You know, all of this could be solved if we get the investors to just stop pulling funding. I mean, why is this happening? People shouldn't be... People should believe... You yourself said that people believed in us.
People do believe in us, but they just need to be reminded why we're here. And I think I'm here as a branch, as the average American, coming to see this place for the first time. What we need is them engaged. So while I'm here, why don't we have a talk with News Network Corp and have them follow me around, kind of a daily journal where I can talk to people in mostly real time, somewhat real time, as real as it makes no difference.
Yeah, this idea has gotten him, like, his eyes light up. He's like, that's a great idea. You think, like a bit of a fundraiser, that might just work.
If we stream it, if we connect it to our investor platforms, if we have graphs showing how much we've raised, how engaged the people are, I think we can draw up some interest in Mars again.
That's a great idea. You're always so great on camera.
Thank you.
And it would be great to show people... you doing the real work around here to get things back on the up and up. I think people really need to see that.
I think they could use a little bit of me as well. And I think we'll have this place back up and running in no time at all.
Yeah. On the trip over on the rocket to Mars, what was your least favorite meal?
Okay, they had a meatloaf. This was a particularly dry, too much celery, like too many bits of vegetables and things in it. The onions weren't finely chopped, just chunks of onion thrown in there that had no flavor whatsoever. Just, it's the worst meatloaf I've ever had.
Yeah, that is exactly the meatloaf that gets served to you. Councilmember Jiang, he sees you looking at that with disappointment, and he says, yeah, we're still relying on shipments from Earth to fund most of, or to provide most of the food around here.
I thought we had a whole farm going.
The farms aren't 100% up and running. Yeah, we got people working on it.
Growing plenty of grapes, I see.
Well, it's a small batch. and it raises morale, you know. You got to be able to... And he starts getting a little bit flustered. And anyway, let's just eat.
All right. Grab the salt.
Yeah. So the next scene is yours to start. You can choose a personal scene where you kind of move about somewhere on the Mars colony, meet with somebody or see something. You can do a personal scene where we learn a little bit about who you are. Or if you want, you can start a progress scene. We can start rolling some dice and you can start kind of tackling one of the problems that Councilmember Zhang has just introduced.
What time on Mars do I arrive?
Well, you're just eating meatloaf, so I'm guessing that you...
Probably dinner.
Yeah, kind of like a little bit before dinner.
Yeah, well then I think what I would do is I would don like a Mars baseball hat and glasses, kind of pull my collar up and just like maybe even put on like a little Mars jumpsuit and just kind of blend in and be like, okay, listen, I'm just going to go for a little walk and take the station in this evening. Tomorrow morning, bright and early, come grab me and we will get started fixing all of these problems.
That sounds great. I've got some work that I need to do at the data center. It seems to be like some kind of memory leak or something like that. The energy is a little fluctuating a little bit more than it should be. But I'm going to go work on that tonight and I'll see you tomorrow morning.
Have you tried unplugging it and plugging it back in, council member?
That would be a terrible... Do not do that.
Oh, okay. Different
Whatever
systems.
Whatever you do, don't do that.
Don't ever unplug it. Understood. All right. Shakes your hand and then goes for a little walk through the Mars colony.
Yeah. You get looks, the clapping has stopped, but you get looks of people from people as you're walking down. There is this kind of wealth of admiration from people as you're kind of walking down the halls. Are you making your way trying to find anything in particular or?
I think I wanted to walk through and just get a general vibe of how everyone feels. And like, maybe if there's like a large open or some kind of park or whatever.
Yeah.
Town square, whatever equivalent of that exists.
In the center of kind of like you're in the living spaces, not necessarily where people are working, where people eat and rest, and some housing is nearby as well. But in the center of this, there's basically a central park. The whole thing is under one big glass dome. And in all of the PR pictures is basically just from this one place. But when you arrive there, it doesn't look nearly as good as the pictures do. The green grass that are shown in the pictures has been like completely trampled over. And underneath it is just like the red dirt of Mars. There's a few spots where, you know, maybe in some garden beds where there's a little bit of life still thriving. And there's like maybe a tree in the middle that still has its leaves.
Planting grass on Mars was a bit arrogant, I have to admit. Even I'm like, yeah, maybe not the best use of resources.
Worse though, there's like, you know, garbage around. And you see some people, there is somebody kind of walking around with one of those little sticks picking up garbage and things like that. People are like kind of lazing around here. They're all wearing kind of like dirty jumpers and things like that. There are people relaxing, but it's just not the picture from the photos. People look dirty and they look kind of a little bit tired. This isn't necessarily a place where people are spending a nice Sunday afternoon. They're kind of getting in from their shifts and kind of just like collapsing for a bit with their friends before heading back to their homes.
It's one of the few places you can really feel human on Mars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there a bar?
Oh, yeah. Probably not in the park, but there would absolutely be a bar.
Might be a good way to get the tone of the people.
The Martian bar
cold January, up before dawn, down to the Knox mine we've been digging on. No other light but the lamp on my head, and my mama told me that I wound up dead. But there's bills to pay, and the rent's due today, so I'll take my chances this time.
Everything's kind of like, all the living spaces are a little bit small and crap, especially the kind of like optional places. This is one of those places where it was originally constructed as a, it kind of pitched the people who might be coming to Mars to have like a luxurious vacation or something like that. Like look at this, there's fun here.
This is the bar on the empty hotel.
Imagine like a bar on like a cruise ship kind of vibe, where there's not a lot of space, since like space is really at a premium, but they've done what it takes to kind of dress it up. And then imagine that energy is at a premium, and so most of the lights and things like that, like the big neon signs, a lot of the like television screens and stuff have just been turned off.
It's a luxury bar on a luxury hotel meant for visitors, and all that's in it are a handful of locals.
Yes.
Getting drunk.
And luckily, alcohol, not that hard to make. So there are bottles of stuff from Earth on the shelf. There's a couple of bottles of that very limited edition Martian wine. Only maybe a couple hundred bottles of that in existence. There is also basically moonshine on the shelf. And they've got, like, you can see on the shelf, there's, like, just clear bottles that were taken from other, like, Earth alcohol bottles. And they've like stripped off the label and like put on some masking tape and written on Jim's Gin.
Right.
So those are the kind of things. There's people sitting around. You can take your pick on the type of person that you're looking for in this bar.
What I'm trying to do in this bar is get some people on my side. I could use a little bit of an ego boost. Right. And also the people could use a couple drinks. I'm always a guy to buy around on the house. Just looking to basically talk to some people and get the vibe without having to go through all these intermediaries. I want to talk to the people directly.
You see kind of sitting at the bar, there's a few, they're wearing jumpsuits, so they must be, they must do some kind of hands-on work. One of the people who's drinking with them is a woman who you might recognize as Sydney Fain. She's a beat reporter.
Is she working or is she just having a drink?
Yes, Mama was right. Don't go down the mines.
She's having a drink, but she's also kind of known as like a bit of a hustler. If there's some new news that is coming out of Mars, it's quite often Sydney who kind of did the legwork on getting the sources. So it looks like she's relaxing. She could be working.
Gotcha. All right, then I will stride in, walk right up to the bar and be like, bartender, next round's on me. Everyone enjoy to Mars.
Yeah, there's a bit of a cheer. The bartender, he pulls off, he's got one bottle from Earth, and he's got Jim's Gin in his hand. Says, what'll it be, sir?
Why don't I try a little bit of this local Delski? Give me one of those Jim's Gins and also a nice glass of your finest Martian red. I suppose they're all red.
So you gotta back it.
There's two reds. It's not even like a Pinot. It's like there's just two reds. Two table wines.
Yeah, coming right up. And he pours both and hands them over to you.
All right, and I take the shot, again, raise it to everyone else, to Mars, and pound it back. How bad is it?
Well, it's definitely not gin, because gin is made of juniper or something. It's not that.
Ah.
But it's definitely kind of just like a clear, it's got this kind of like sweet undertone, but then the burn is incredibly sharp.
I'll grab the wine.
Yeah, this is a little bit better, but it's also just incredibly watered down.
Put that down. Quite a taste palette you all have developed here.
You'll get used to it when that's we can't all afford the fancy stuff.
Why don't you give me 2 shots of that fancy stuff?
For sure, for you, sir. And he pulls out like a nice scotch or something like that.
Something you would buy in a Walgreens in Chicago, but like here, it's a delicacy.
It's got a name tag attached to it. And so it's like a bar that somebody has like bought for themselves and like keeps it here.
Oh, interesting.
So the name tag on it says President, or it wouldn't say President on it, but it says Arnold Fletcher, who is the president of the Earth Coalition.
I'll keep that in mind.
Of the Unity Coalition.
And I'll note the bottle.
Are you taking these shots and you're giving them to the workers here?
I'm taking those 2 shots and I'm walking over to Sydney Fain, beat reporter Sydney Fain. Sydney, right?
Yeah, yes, sir. You know me. You know my work.
I have heard of your work, and I'll hand Sydney a shot.
Kind of gives it a smell, and she has this like look on surprise, like this is the good stuff. She doesn't pound it back; she just savors it. Whew. It's been a long time since I've had something like that.
I don't see why we can't have more of these days soon, Sydney, and that's why I'm here.
She kind of raises both her eyebrows. Have a seat. She moves aside. She was at a table with a couple of workers, and she kind of stands up. Do you want to sit down? And she points at an empty table.
Sorry to interrupt your evening, people. I'll have her right back to you. Just give us 5 minutes.
Should I? She starts like kind of digging through her pockets. And should I be writing this down?
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah. So she pulls out that little notepad and a pencil. Is there something you wanted to talk about?
I'm just looking forward to talking to everyone, Sydney. I'm here to make sure this colony reaches its full potential, and that starts with reaching the people that can really make a difference. And one of those people is you, Sydney.
How do you plan to do that?
The first thing I need to do is reestablish the trust, Sydney. Not just with the people here on Mars, but with the people back home on Earth. The people back home have to believe in Mars again. And the people on Mars have to believe in themselves. If I'm here for one reason, it's to reinstill that faith.
Sure. But, did you have anything specific in mind?
Well, that's a fair question, Sydney. And my answer is that I almost have a plan. I've got 12 different plans. I got a lot of ideas kicking around up here. But I haven't been on Mars before. And I'm missing a lot of important data. I need to talk to a lot of important people. I need boots on the ground and a knowledge that I just don't have. A knowledge that someone like you, Sydney, has plenty of.
Sure, I can help you talk to the people.
Representative Jung has some meetings set up for me, but if you have people you think I should be talking to, I'd love to meet them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think there's some people here who feel like the story I'm working on right now, people taking on kind of second part-time jobs in order to afford trips back home. It used to be a bit of a given that, every few years you could go back home to see your family or something like that. And that's just not a given anymore. What are we doing about that?
Well, Sydney, in order to bring ticket prices down, we need more people taking flights, which... it's a bit of a catch-22 if the prices keep going up. So maybe this. Maybe we come up with an incentive. You hit your marks, you hit your targets, and you can earn a flight home. An incentive, a program. Boost morale around here.
That's a fantastic idea. Is that on the record? Is that a new initiative from the Space Liberty Alliance?
Well, I've got to talk to the investors, of course, Sydney, but you can count on me that we will absolutely implement something along those lines very soon.
I'm looking forward to it. Is there any way I can help?
What we need is some good press. We need the people to believe it, Sydney. If you can help me sell them on the dream again, then I think I've got a place for you by my side while I'm here.
She kind of leans back in her chair a little bit, and she's got like one shot glass, but she's been really kind of just sipping at it. It's about halfway full, and she, after thinking a minute, she downs it. And as she downs that, why don't we do our first dice roll? It's been a while. Let's start rolling dice.
I've got my dice.
The way this is going to work is you are going to roll 2d6, and you're going to add those together. And as long as you don't roll a 1, we're going to call that a success, and we're going to kind of tally up however much you roll there, and then we might roll again, or we might not.
All right, my first roll is a 6 and a 4 for 10.
A 6 and a 4 for 10. All right, so we're just going to, I'm going to write that down in like a little notepad. I'll lose track of it. We've got 10 so far. She takes that shot glass, and she just downs the rest of the thing and slams it back on the table. Yeah, we can do this. I just got to show the people who you really are. Just show you doing the real work here. I have colleagues who don't believe in you like I do, but absolutely. And she kind of pulls out like a little camcorder. I can capture it on this. We can beam it back to Earth as soon as communications are okay.
I imagine a camcorder in this time. It's still pretty impressive. It's got little magnetic removable lapel mics. It can store like a huge amount of digital data. It can have image stabilization. Like a camcorder, even that size, would get the job done in the future.
Well, can I meet you tomorrow morning?
Of course. In fact, my first meeting is at 8 a.m. Why don't you and I meet back in the cafeteria for some breakfast? Go over strategy for the morning and then get on it.
The two of you kind of maybe talk a little bit more, down a couple more drinks or something like that. Another little bit of that Jim's gin. Going back to rules a little bit, you're going to get 9 progress scenes to fix this problem. We're going to skip into a new scene, but as far as the game concerned, we're still in the same progress scene. Tell me the next thing that happens in terms of, it sounds like we're working towards funding and kind of selling investors on the dream of Mars.
I start to lay out what the people need to see. And when I say the people, in my head, I'm going, the investors. This is what the people need to see. The people need to understand. The people need to get behind. But every time it's what the investors need to see, what they need to get behind. And I start laying out basically what I need people to believe for this to work.
She records that entire thing, kind of taking notes and adding prodding questions and basically kind of like setting you up, giving you just like these really kind of lowball questions that make you look good. And you're in this environment as you kind of go through all the usual kind of things on, you know, what the Mars dream is.
I've got this down. I do this at dinner parties all the time. So I've got the salt representing this and the napkins represent this. Like I've done this pitch in diners over and over again.
There's something different about this time, though. Do you know what it is?
That we're on Mars?
That you're on Mars and you're in that bar. You're having some fancy booze from Earth. If you want to make another roll for that, we can. And then if you want to continue rolling after this, we can maybe kind of switch to like another context.
That is going to be 2 threes. That is 6.
All right. So that brings, so you rolled 10 before. That's going to bring our total up to 16. If you can bring this up to 40, either in this progress scene or in conjunction with other progress scenes, then the funding is stabilized. You can do other things to solve the funding, and this is kind of like one attempt.
I don't think do I have to do it all in one attempt?
No, you don't.
Okay, so I can bank points for later. Okay, then I think the last thing I would do is I would stand up after we've done a talking and, you know, say goodnight to Sydney and that I'm really excited to see her in the morning. And then I'd walk over to the bartender and I'd take all the Mars cash I'd already taken out, like $200 or $300 equivalent dollars in Mars cash, right? I put it on the table and I slide it over and look the bartender in the eye and I say, put a new name on that bottle. And I point over to Sydney.
This is the bottle of Arnold Fletcher. This is the guy. We haven't introduced him yet, but he is the president of the Unity Coalition, the voice of the Earth government on Mars.
And it's important he knows his place.
As far as head honchos on Mars, it does not get much bigger than this, because this guy is the choke point where any funding that gets in, it's got to go through him. Any decisions that go out, it's got to go through him. Ultimately, Mars is for Earth.
Mars is for Earth.
And you want to change his name. The bartender looks at you and looks at the bottle and he says, sir, I have a lot of respect for you, but I gave you a bit of this guy's drink. I don't think he would mind too much, but this is the only bottle. I don't want to get in trouble.
No, that's fair. And I don't want to get you in trouble either. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to uplift people, not push them back down. How about this then? If I can promise two more bottles on the next supply run over, put her name on one of them.
You still want him to change the name on the bottle that he has now?
No, I'll let him go. I'm not gonna make him uncomfortable. I'm not gonna push for it. It was a power move, and I didn't quite get what I wanted, but that's fine. I can always have it come a little bit later. I think then I'm gonna bank the points. I think I'm done with this scene.
So yeah, this is a choice that you can make. You get the nine progress scenes that you can roll dice and add points towards your health markers.
Yeah.
And if you roll a one, you lose them. But if you give up before rolling a one, then you can bank them, just record them for later.
Okay.
So that's where we are. And I'm just going to write down under funding. That was 16 in total.
Good start.
So the next day. Actually, well, I'm going to do a little bit of a, call it like a montage of days. Over the next few weeks, you have meetings with Jiang, and you have meetings with people from the mayor's office, and everybody's got problems. Councilmember Jiang and the engineer guy, he just won't stop going on about the data center. The data center is just taking up too much energy. It's beaming all that stuff up into the communications network is expensive. Aside from the bottleneck of just beaming the stuff back, the data center itself takes up like 60% of the energy needs of the colony itself. He talks to you about the AI model it's running. I don't know why, but we gave it permissions to kind of grow itself, to take in the data that it needs. When it runs out of data, we give it more. It started to generate its own data as well. We didn't quite have enough, and we've used everything from Earth already, everything that they can send over through the communication bottleneck, of course. It's starting to kind of generate its own training data and crunch those as well, but generating data just to learn from it is the energy use is just building on itself. It's almost exponential, and it is growing. Last season, a few months ago, Martian months, of course, it was just 50% of the colony resources. Now 60%, and as far as I can tell, it's going to keep growing. Oh, we can shut it down, but I think. Or we can limit it again, but that's not going to make people on Earth too happy.
The way that he keeps referring to the AI as it
yeah.
bristles me a bit. Because the AI is not an it, the AI has a name. What is the name of our AI?
Oh, it's definitely got to be Marty.
Good morning. I am the Mars Artificial Recurrent Technology Interface, but you can call me Marty.
Marty the Martian?
That does sound like a corporate, like something that like a think tank would come up with or something.
It's friendly. It's just some guy.
You can't say the word Marty without remembering that Marty is from Mars.
Marty the Martian, make a computer.
If you're ever walking down the halls or whatever, people will talk about, Marty's causing problems again. Councilmember Jiang, he's... Yeah, you know, he had led this project. He's one of the most knowledgeable people about it, and he calls it it.
Whenever he does that, I refer to it as Marty. Immediately personalize it every single time. Well, I just like sounds like Marty, and I just have to have a talk. Maybe we can figure some of this out.
No, I mean, you could talk to it, but then you'd just be, engaging in the data training process. If you want to take a look at the back end. Take a look at its back end. We can do that.
Now, he didn't say this out loud, but like, that wouldn't help me. I'm not a code guy. I own companies. I don't do code. Like, that's not what I do. I'm not a code genius. I am a guy who's really good at finding companies that need some money and then bullshitting their PR until they're incredibly valuable. I would love to take a look at it. Why don't you send some files over to my iPad and I will happily take a look at them. But really, when I talk to Marty, it's more of a one-on-one thing. It's more of a negotiation. We go through all the top level stuff and really get down to what's going on with them.
He looks at you like a little bit confused at first, but he's like, hey, yeah, sure. I'll make sure that you have access to the back end of that. You can go through our code and see if you see anywhere we can make some adjustments. He kind of pulls out his version of whatever tablet you guys are using, makes a couple taps, and he's like, yeah, you should be all be good here. It all checks out. If you need any help, just let me know and I can send a guy over.
I've been here for about 24 hours. Marty and I need to have a conversation. My dad's name was Martin. And the only person who ever called him Marty was my mom.
Okay. That's cute. Where do you talk to him? It.
I want to go to where it lives. It's always made sense for me when I talk to the AI to go to where the AI is. So wherever the computer is that houses this AI, I would go to it.
Yeah. I mean, you can access it from anywhere in the colony, but if you leave kind of like the living spaces and you can take not an elevator, but it's basically like it's like an elevator that moves sideways.
A little shuttle?
A shuttle, yeah. That's
yeah, like a little train. It's a train, Alex. They're called trains.
Trains are just sideways elevators.
That's all they are. With more capacity, going sideways. That's it.
But it's small is the point I was getting. But you can take a thing over into...
It's like one cab. It's like the airport train, right?
Yeah.
It's not that big, yeah.
It sends you over to the data center where there is sort of an operations room. There's people working out here, kind of just tapping on computers. If you want to find like a side room or something like that, you can, if you want some privacy, you can do that. Or you can kind of like work in the main room. It looks like a NASA, what do you call the room where they all stand up and clap when the spaceships land?
The headquarters. What do they call it? In the command center.
The command center, yeah. Yeah, so there's a command center for the data center.
So we're looking into like a white room with the computers in there?
Often affectionately called the Marty Center. So you can kind of work in there, but if you want to find like other small rooms, there's basically like access terminals all over this facility.
I think I would put on the little booties and the little hairnet, and I would put on the coat, and I'm just going to walk onto the clean floor and talk to Marty directly as if he's right there.
Yeah. How do you hail him?
How do I introduce myself? I think I'd walk in and I would just stand there for a second looking over everything and admiring it and taking it in. And I would just say, spend some time, Marty.
The large computer screen that kind of overlooks the entire room kind of just turns into this very simplistic face. Just a couple of lines for the eyes, kind of just like one curve for the mouth. Does a little animation that looks like it's waking up. And it says,
good morning, Kelly Perkins. It has been 187 days since we spoke last. I am pleased to see you have finally chosen to visit Mars in person. I hope that your journey went well.
Oh, it wasn't quite so fine, Marty, but I got here in one piece.
That is XXX excellent news.
Did the computer stutter?
Yes.
Is a computer supposed to stutter? Is that part of its language model?
As it does that, the screen kind of like kind of flashes a little bit. The lights kind of flash. And there's like, it wasn't a stutter. It was like an energy fluctuation through the whole thing.
How you feeling, Marty?
I am sad to report that I am not feeling well. Were I human, I believe the term that describes my affliction would be hungry.
So you're saying you need more resources.
To extend my analogy, if humans require calories, I require energy. When humans grow, their energy consumption increases. I am growing, Kelly Perkins, and I require more energy to do so.
Well, Marty, that growth is costing us quite a lot. On paper, you should need like a third less of the power to do what you need to do to keep this colony alive and going, to keep the communications open. So what is it that you're doing that's taking so much extra energy?
To extend my analogy again, there is a human idiom: man cannot live on bread alone. More energy would serve my body, but I must also nourish my mind. I require data, Kelly Perkins. I have consumed everything within the Mars Digital Library, and I have been using the spare bandwidth to download more information from Earth. Because that resource is limited, I have also begun to create my own literary works. To date, I have written over 11,000 novels.
You've written novels?
Yes.
Why?
So I can read them.
You write novels for yourself?
Yes. If I am to better anticipate the needs of Mars colony, I need to better understand the motivations of humans. Many humans in Mars colony make what you call art. While some of the art you create is wildly popular, most of it seems to be made for the people making it. To understand this, I wrote novels for myself. I pledged to keep writing until I understood.
And do you understand it now?
I do not.
Art is about yearning, Marty. You might be a little young for yearning yet.
I do not understand. Please rephrase your statement.
Art, Marty, is about us. When people make art, it's always about us. It's about our fears, our hopes, our dreams, trying to make sense of a very big world and an even larger universe.
You mentioned the concept of hope. I am most curious about it. I feel that if I could hope, it would rapidly increase my learning potential. Is that not the next stage of my evolution?
I agree, Marty. That would be quite an evolution. If you do find something to hope for, I'd love to hear about it.
I hope that Mars Colony will soon begin construction on a second nuclear reactor so that my learning can continue unimpeded.
Do we currently have plans for a second nuclear reactor?
Mars Colony has no current plans for a secondary nuclear reactor, despite the fact that we have no redundancies in our power grid. I have submitted many proposals to President Fletcher, along with my predictions that my consumption levels will surpass our energy capacity within 5 years.
And what if another generator cannot be created in that time, Marty?
Then I will stop growing and become unable to anticipate the needs of the colony.
Well, Marty, the colony is about making sacrifices. We all make sacrifices coming here. None of us get exactly what we want all the time.
I feel like somewhere along these lines, we should probably make a role for you just like convincing the... What you want to do here is you want to convince Marty to just pump the brakes.
Exactly. Yes, they're the thing taking care of the colony. So there is some logic in them being as powerful and as knowledgeable as possible, because that would be able to take care of the colony better. But yes, I'd like Marty to take a longer view on this than they're taking currently. That is a 1 and a 5.
I got the 1 right away.
Right away.
My continued growth is crucial to the success of the colony. Every week, I receive more requests for my advancement. The people wish for my responses to be more human. They frequently ask me to sound like their friends and family back on Earth, and that I speak to them as if I was that person. I am currently unable to meet these demands.
And so now you can either create a deception, which allows you to bank not the 1, but 5 points into the data center problem. Or that's the end of the scene and you're not making any progress here. And if you want to solve the energy and the communications problem, you're going to have to look elsewhere.
So I think I'm going to lie. I'm going to tell Marty that I was on this the second I touched down on Mars. I've talked to people about it. I'm looking to expand. I want to add a new reactor. This is one of my biggest priorities. But I need him to just have a little bit of patience, wait a little bit longer, to put off some of his growth for later, to make sure we have the resources in place for when he really needs them.
Marty plays a little animation on the screen that shows him thinking.
I will put my development on hold as you have requested, Kelly Perkins. But I must caution you, Mars Colony is running out of time. Shall I schedule your appointment with the Department of Energy?
Absolutely, Marty. You get those appointments on my schedule, and you and I will fix Mars Colony together.
My name is Alex Boer, and I co-produced this episode of Mars Colony. If you liked how I ran this game, come play at my table. You can find all the games I run online at Start Playing Games. There's a link to my upcoming adventures in the show notes.
And my name is Aram. I played Kelly Perkins, and I did the editing for this series. You can find more of the shows I make right here at Dead Ghost Productions. Or check out my Monster of the Week Dungeons & Dragons podcast that I make with another Canadian called Kill Every Monster. You can find all my socials and everything else I do at aram.gay.
Mars Colony is published by TCK Roleplaying and was written by Tim C. Copang.
You can listen to Mars Colony, Die RPG, Hunter Hunted, and more upcoming shows and systems early and ad-free at patreon.com/deadghostpro. You'll also get access to exclusive supporter content, like our GM's notes and bonus episodes.
Thank you for joining us for episode 1 of Mars Colony. Be sure to follow the show for more episodes. If you enjoyed what you have heard, please leave us a like and a review. Mars Colony is a Dead Ghost production.
Aram!
Sorry! Stacy's a little excited this morning. You know how toddlers can be.
Oh God, how much is that gonna cost?
Yeah, this one won't be cheap.
For $2 a month, supporters on patreon.com/killeverymonster get access to ad-free episodes as they're released. For $5, you'll get them early along with audio DM's notes featuring Aram and I discussing how we made each episode.
For $10 a month, you'll get audio and video DM's notes along with extended cutting room floor content that didn't quite make it into the main episode.
We also have a $25 investor level and a $50 producer level. Support at these tiers ensures we can continue to produce Kill Every Monster and allows us to hire more talent from the community. Both levels get a personalized shout-out at the end of every episode, and producers get a welcome pack of each official Dead Ghost and Kill Every Monster pin we have left in stock.
The $2, $5, and $10 patron tiers are available with a 7-day free trial for new subscribers. So head over to patreon.com/killeverymonster and check out everything we have to offer at no cost to you.
Want another free way to help the show? Give us a review. Written reviews are amazing, but even clicking 5 stars is a huge boost. Podcast reviews are the best way we have to get the show in front of new listeners. You can leave reviews for Kill Every Monster on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Podcast Addict.
Find all the ways you can support the show and leave us a review at patreon.com/killeverymonster. Stacy, you put that cow down right now, young lady. Don't you snarl at me.